Hey, how's it going, everybody? Welcome to this week's episode of Cartridge to Cloud. I'm your host, LifeShift Rex. I'm here with Captain Tutu, Soapleb, and Super Midas today. How's it going, guys? Oh boy. So, sorry we weren't around last week, but we were back, ready to go. So, you know, get everything going this week. We've got topics today of we're gonna be talking about Black Lives Matter. Also with and how it ties in also in toxicity in gaming today. God, I'm like jumbling words today. We're also going to be talking about some Elite Dangerous Odyssey and the announcement, what's coming up, what's going to be big, what's exciting. And we're also going to be talking about some of the recent game updates because there's been a lot of stuff that's kind of like snuck in and under the radar the past couple weeks. So we're going to be talking a little bit about those as well. As we normally do, we'd like to start with like what have we been playing this week, guys? Tutu, go ahead and start with you. Oh, wait, hold on. I don't think anybody can hear you for some reason. I think it's that. Hold on. Try it again.
Hello. Test.
Oh, there you go. Now I can hear you. Yep. We were just fixing that. I just noticed that as well. Sorry about that, guys and gals.
Good. So two of the games that I've been playing, of course, Elder Scrolls Online, Greymoor, Minecraft Dungeons. We'll talk about those later. But another game that I've sort of gotten back into slowly but surely was Animal Crossing New Horizons. And just like trying to beautify my town up now. I haven't gotten to check out like the new wedding event, but I will soon before it leaves. And yeah, that's pretty much it for me.
Nice. I just want to make sure everybody can hear the other cast as well, right? In chat? You're all able to hear Tutu? Because I can see it moving now. Can you hear everybody else? Like Tutu and everybody? Anyway. Soulplay, what about you?
So this week I've been doing a lot of Mythic Raiding and World of Warcraft. So I run a Mythic Raid team. So I got pulled back into the game. And it's actually pretty
nice.
Starting to push new content, and you know, it's pretty great.
That's awesome. Those always give you a nice sense of achievement when you do some of those too. Like it's a lot of fun.
Yep.
Super Midas, what about you?
Well, I've fallen back into my old addiction for Elite Dangerous, like pretty hard, like 100 hours in the last week hard. That's why we're talking about Odyssey today for one of our segments. And I don't think I've played or opened another game in about 2 weeks. But tonight I said I was going to take a break and I downloaded Crysis 3 because it was on sale for $9 and I wanted it. So,
oh man, that'd be fun. Yeah. The Crysis 3 was a lot of fun too. I mean, all the Crysis games were unique and different in their own ways, right?
I'll be honest with you. Yeah. I've never played Crysis 3, and I've been meaning to, and I've always seen it. And I'm like, damn, that looks so cool. I wish I could play that. And now I'm like, okay, I can play this. I own it. Let's do it.
Nice.
Have you played the others?
Nope. I have no idea what I'm getting into. I'm going in 100% blind, but Crysis 3 is one of those ones where it's like, I feel like I know at least a little bit about what's going on, and I can point and click and kill things pretty well. So
nice. Yeah. For me, I actually have been, Elder Scrolls Online Greymoor. That's been like kind of one of my big ones. I finally got to play some of the double XP event over the weekend for Fallout 76. And then I actually dug into another game recently that just came out, was called Monster Train. It's like a little roguelike deck builder. It's kind of similar to Slay the Spire from what I understand. I haven't played Slay the Spire. I own it, but I have never gotten to touch it. But super simple to get into and really, really addicting. So I'm like, I was actually pretty surprised by that one. Pretty solid though, overall. But yeah. Ugh. Crazy. All right. So let's get into our first topic. Tutu, you want to take us off with this one?
Yeah. So we're going to get kind of heavy here, but you know, there are moments in history that just kind of demand to be the center of attention. And I think this is definitely one of those moments, but it also connects back to gaming pretty heavily too. But, you know, as many of you probably know already, on, you know, May 25th, a man named George Floyd, a black man, was, you know, killed by the hands of police. And, you know, this has kind of been an ongoing issue for, you know, our nation, the United States, where, you know, police brutality and systemic racism has just been, you know, running rampant for, you know, literally centuries. And it's been absolutely, you know, at its core, this is like a you know, basic human rights issue, of course. And, you know, it's been amazing to see so many gaming companies and developers, you know, show support for, you know, everything that's been going on for Black Lives Matter and, you know, things like that. And just to point out some of these charitable, you know, donations and commitments and stuff. Before we get to that, of course, like everything this week, you know, this week was meant to be kind of like the summer of gaming week, where a lot of E3 level events were happening. But of course, they got delayed. Well, like last week, sorry. They got delayed to like, you know, towards the end of this week and into next week. Like, I know on Thursday, we're getting the PlayStation event that was supposed to happen last week. And same with, like, the Guerrilla Collective event is happening this weekend. And PC Gamer Show is happening this weekend. But just to show you guys some of the support, I'm going to link this article in the chat. And there's been like such an outpouring of support. Like Humble Bundle committed to donating like $1 million to helping publish games by Black developers. And we see like Ubisoft contributing $100,000 to the NAACP and Black Lives Matter. Square Enix giving $250,000 to the causes, different organizations, and also like matching donations from their employees. There's been like a ton, so much support. And I also saw Lego of all companies, they pledged like $4 million to help with like underprivileged kids and things like that, which has been absolutely incredible. There's also been this bundle, which I'll talk about a little later too, that's raised over $2 million. And it's like, it features over 700 games, and you get so much stuff. And it, of course, it all goes to a good cause, and, you know, being donated to the NAACP and educational funds and stuff like that. And on top of this, we're seeing a lot of gaming companies and developers, you know, not only supporting, you know, Black Lives Matter and, you know, making it known that, you know, this is like an ongoing commitment, but also committing to kind of revising and revamping their, you know, their like rules for like toxicity and for, you know, racism and sexism and hatred speech in video games. Because we know that's all like, you know, kind of deeply embedded into gaming culture. And just to pull up like Call of Duty, they put out like a great statement, like a great action plan.
Nice.
Right. Sorry, I was pulling it up just so I could read it.
Okay.
But yeah, so they said there's no place for racist content in our games. It's an effort we began with launch, and we need to do a better job. We're issuing thousands of daily bans of racist and hate-oriented names. And they just laid out a couple things they plan on doing, like adding additional resources to monitor and ID racist content, adding filters and greater restrictions on name changes. And Warframe also, they are pledging to kind of, you know, do the same thing. And they're even taking, like, they were supposed to have like streams throughout the whole week, and they decided to take the week off to really focus and hone in on like what they can do to better the community and to get rid of, you know, hate speech, racism, and toxicity more efficiently than they have been doing. And of course, you know, we as gamers, we have to, you know, hold them accountable. We also have to, you know, hold each other accountable. It's like, you know, toxicity in gaming culture goes way back, and it's kind of a thing. Like, if you look back on history, It was kind of driven by a lot of these, you know, gaming companies themselves, and like with the marketing and stuff like that. If you go back, you know, just with, you know, how it started with being such a sexist, you know, kind of movement, and, you know, racism getting in there, and, you know, a lot of hate speech and stuff like that. And, you know, there's like certain games where personally, like, I don't even touch, or I don't even play the game today because of, just how like horrible they can be, as far as like their community and community involvement and stuff like that. And, it's a really sucky thing, to like, you know, be a black man and to, you know, go through BS like that. You know, even, you know, everybody of course goes through BS like that. And
well, I wouldn't even say just man or any gamer who's playing, you know, that happens to be a person of color.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, the reason why of course this is so heavily focused on, you know, just the black voice, of course, is because the black voice has been just kind of shunned out for years and years and years and years. And so I want to read our own commitment that we put out for the, as an INN team and staff, our commitment to you guys. Just pulling it up real quick. So of course, you know, on behalf of the INN team and in honor of, you know, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and the hundred of other Black lives lost at the hands of police brutality, you know, we stand in solidarity with, you know, the Black community and all of our Black content creators, Black players, you know, everyone out there, Black people all around the globe, you know, during this horrible time. And, you know, we at INN, we want to commit to, you know, seeking out and uplifting, you know, both Black and minority voices within our community. And also we would like to condemn all acts of racism, sexism, hatred, and toxicity within our community. And, you know, we will hold ourselves accountable in enacting and upholding these commitments. And I hope you guys hold us accountable too. You know, this is not a place for that. And we want to foster a really rich and nice and healthy community here.
Absolutely. And we put out, if you haven't checked it out, it's out on our website as well. Imperium.news, you can see the post for this. Actually, you can go ahead and probably link it in chat as well.
Yeah, I'll put it in chat. Oh, there it is. Thank you so much.
No problem, man.
So, like, so for example, like, I mean, it's different, obviously, for everybody gets in, right? But what are some of the games that you avoid because of the toxicity? I mean, for me, like, I avoid League of Legends just because it's generally toxic.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, same.
Like, I love the game. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I got, like, when I first played the game, like, I was super addicted until you get into, like, comp or something like that. And then it's just like, oh, God, what have I gotten into?
CSGO is the other one that I vehemently avoid.
I've never CSGO had a problem in CSGO, but I also don't like do voice chat unless, you know, like I'm usually playing with people I know, but I haven't experienced it too bad in there. Unless they suck and somebody's like stop sucking or something like that. But most people are pretty good at low levels.
CSGO's been a pretty bad one for me. Rainbow Six Siege has been kind of rough here and there for me too. And they've done stuff to
Siege is different now though, because like they auto ban people now for that.
Yeah, I haven't played in forever too, so I can't really speak on it much. But you know, from my experience, I've dealt with a lot of just toxicity in Rainbow Six Siege. Minecraft also, like playing public Minecraft, and has been such an experience with a lot of toxicity in there.
That's the one you would least expect, I would think.
Right, and
it's the most disappointing.
I mean, like with PvP games, you know, of course they kind of in a way elicit that toxicity. But you know, I feel like there's a fine line between like, you know, friendly trash talk and then just being a toxic racist asshole that we need to really divide.
I'd argue that it's also the PvP arena where you're fighting someone else, it's also mind games. If I can get in your head and I know how to get in your head and I can use that to my advantage in a PvP situation, if I was a terrible person, that's what I would do. But, you know, I guess with Tutu and I, we see it a lot more for a lot of different reasons. But, you know, Tommy, I understand that you're not seeing a lot of this. And a lot of this stuff is like, you know, it raises questions. And that's part of what Tutu has been talking about. And what I have been talking about in my own private little circles is it's kind of hard to recognize like when something is happening when you're not on the receiving end of it, because it's so easy to just mute in-game chats or like, you know, mute the person who's being toxic and then just move on. But like for us, it directly kicks us in the teeth, and when we see it, it hurts.
Yeah,
and it well, is like
there's like some of it like even
in the face.
Some of it even for me for like a certain aspect, like I almost automatically do blocking, like not even blocking, but like I turn off voice chat and other little stuff like that. Especially being as a streamer, like you turn off that stuff like just to avoid the problems, right?
Yeah,
like not even, you know, as much as I would love to, you know, listen to some of that. But like there was a point in time where it was really bad. And like PUBG, for example, like toxicity was super, super rampant until they started cracking down on that. But then there's like, other games that have been different. There was another topic I was going to bring up. I can't remember, but go ahead.
I feel like you can only block it out for so long. And, you know, of course, that's kind of echoing with everything going on in the entire world right now. Where it's like, you know, okay, like these issues have been ignored for, you know, years and years and years, you know, now it's just like, you know, you get sick of it and you're just like, okay, you know, we need to do something about this. We need to make a change.
Well, okay. I never remember I was going to go on. So I'm kind of curious, like even to this day and age, like what happened to like friendly, like competition, like types of, you know, like sportsmanship in gaming, like whereas sportsmanship is still a thing in, you know, like sports and whatnot, like real life sports, like, you know, baseball, football, you know, swim team, whatever you're doing, right?
It's a lot easier to call someone a slur when you don't have to look them in the eye.
Yeah, I feel like that's probably a big thing about it too.
Well, that's what I mean, like when has that stopped being a good thing, especially in, you know, as a cultural thing, right? Like who wants to teach their kids how to say that or do that or show them that, you know? Like it's shitty.
Well, I hope at least no one does. I feel like a lot of it is just, you know,
kind the internet, the internet.
Yeah, and the internet and things like
that. It feels so reductive to just blame it on the internet, though, because that's not really what it is. It's an idea that's like spread out throughout all of our history and all of human existence is plagued by discrimination, and it's been a constant force, and we're slowly moving towards not having it anymore. But in America, we're so far behind that it's shocking. And then all of these American teenagers, they learn from each other. They see someone calling someone a slur, and they're like, wow, that's a cool slur that I can add to my arsenal. And it's like, well why? Why?
I've always just super discouraged it. I'm thinking my little nephew, he's like 14 years old, and he's actually really super good about not like picking up slurs and stuff. And he plays probably some of the most toxic games out there. Like he's played League of Legends, he's played EVE Online, he's played Fortnite, he's played, what was the other one I was just thinking of? We played Valorant, of course, too, recently. And it, like, I'm super thankful that he's not picking up those things. But he's also like, he's got parents that have raised him great. Like they completely shut out that kind of stuff. Right. So, and a lot of it is depending on how open minded, I guess, some of the people are with their kids.
Yeah. And, you know, Midas is super right. You know, we can't blame it on just, you know, internet culture and stuff. Like this has been, you know, kind of passed down for generations and generations. And it is like a taught thing where, you know, kids learn it from, you know, even their, you know, their parents or, you know, family members and things like that. And, it's just a matter of like really recognizing these like really horrible toxic behaviors and, you know, really just checking yourself. Cause, you know, oftentimes too, it's like you don't even realize like what you're doing to the other person or how like what you're seeing is really affecting the other person.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, I mean, like the one thing I would love to spread just to people is just be kind to people. Like you never know what they're going through, what they're doing, like how life's treating him currently, you know, things like that. It's just, you know, be nice to each other, man. That's all I ever ask for everybody.
Of course. Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to end it on too. It's just, you know, be kind to people, you know, everybody at the end of the day, we're all human and, you know, we're all, you know, we all should be uplifting each other and helping each other out and not, you know, putting each other down. And yeah, it's, you know, we need to hold, like, you know, as far as gaming goes, we need to hold, you know, these developers accountable, you know, hold us accountable when it comes to our community commitments as well. You know, just hold everybody accountable in the entire world, you know, governments and everything, people, you know, it's time to stop letting this stuff pass by and time to stop ignoring it.
Oh, absolutely. All right. So we, are we good to go on to Elite? Any final words on that topic?
Oh, that's pretty much it for me.
All right. Cool. I'm going to take over then and talk about my spaceship video game that I have fallen in love with, which is stupid. They're finally releasing an update for Elite Dangerous that has a planetary landing on your own 2 feet. You get to leave the spaceship for once in this game where you aren't in the cockpit anymore. And it's really cool. I'm very excited. They have guns. They've got like new outposts, stealth missions. There's all sorts of stuff coming. And it's really looking like it's going to be a really interesting 2021 for Elite Dangerous, because this update that adds these quote unquote space legs directly competes with games such as Chris Roberts' wonderful little invention, Star Citizen. This is a direct competition to Star Citizen, and it's very obvious that it is. Social hubs being spread out throughout the galaxy to form alliances, procure services. I assume that there would be mission running through these. They're now adding engineer support, so you can now use engineers in-game the way that they intended them to be used. And then you can upgrade weapons and gear to do different sort of missions. And then they've added an entire new level of combat with stealth and tech and all this stuff where you can... I think they might be adding different SRVs. I'm not sure. I heard a rumor somewhere that they are. I really hope so, because recently I've been doing SRV missions and they suck. Because I can't drive that thing at all. But suffice to say, I am incredibly excited for this update. It looks beautiful. It looks like they updated the planetary generation tech and some of the shaders in the actual game, because the in-engine trailer was gorgeous, and notably gorgeous. Like, compared to the in-game graphics, they looked like they cranked it up to 11. And it was very exciting. So if you want to pick it up, it's going to be released in early 2021. This is something that they're releasing alongside the Fleet Carriers update that I've been meaning to talk about for a while, but don't really have a purpose to now since the beta is over. Is it live now? The beta is... No, Fleet Carriers are not live. Fleet Carriers are going to be released with Odyssey, I believe. They might release them in December with another little content patch. But for now, I don't think we have an actual out date for FCs. But I assume that FCs are going to tie heavily into Odyssey, which definitely excites me, because if we can walk around our fleet carriers, or, you know, walk around, like bring our fleet carriers into a system and then land it and then go and walk around, that's going to be really cool.
Well, yeah, like launching your guild or clan or whatever it is. That's something I can't remember if it's guild or clans, but
it's actually squadron
or squadron. Yeah. So you take your squadron with you, go and take over a place, take over areas. But one of the things I wanted to kind of note on this one is like how fast that this has come out compared to Star Citizen, which has been in development since 2011.
Right. Right. I mean, you also got to consider that Elite is cheating a little bit, because they've been around since like 1980 something. Like with the first Elite, which was like a Commodore game or something. I don't remember the exact history. but they've been around for a really, really long time. But they've also kind of just been sitting on Elite Dangerous for a while. The gameplay loops, while there's a lot there if you've got people to play with, there's not much to do if you are just solo after you hit like a billion credits or whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, just think on the end of like Elite's only been out since 2014. It was probably in development around 2011 also. The fact that they've gotten like substantially further in way less of a time, and it's way more accessible.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where I have a group that I play this with. You can join us, Jags Corp. Look us up. I have a lot of domain links, et cetera, et cetera. But we have an entire elite wing of people who just bought the game like a couple weeks ago and are now rolling around doing high-end missions because we train everybody that joins. And we make sure that everybody's fitted out the way that they should be. And it's really actually an enjoyable experience for everyone involved. So that's the gameplay that they're focused on. They're now focused on group gameplay. And the group gameplay is what is expediting their development, is because it's a lot easier to work with netcode when you're only hosting four people.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was my problem originally, like when the multiplayer thing finally came out, where you could finally join like your friends and stuff out on a public server versus, you know, just doing a private session. Like, it was super buggy at first, but I've heard it's improved quite a bit since then.
It's quite good. I think that it's going to be one of the more interesting releases of 2021.
It'll definitely be something I think I dig back into after like we get up past this like big game hype and DLC hype, because there's so much DLC and stuff I'm trying to like get through right now. It's ridiculous. But yeah. I definitely want to get back to it at some point because I had a lot of fun when I played it the last time.
All right, that's all I have for it.
All right.
That's my rant about Odyssey that I'm very excited for.
Let's get through.
I know nothing about Elite Dangerous, but it looks pretty cool. Like, I checked out a bit of gameplay and then the trailer for Odyssey. It's got my eye on it.
It's a lot of fun. It's easy to get. It looks a little daunting at first to get into, but it's actually substantially easier to get into even in comparison to Eve. Like, yeah. You could get in and you'll still feel a little overwhelmed, but like, you know, literally about less than an hour of tutorials, you'll be flying around doing your thing and have no problem getting around, you know, and doing your stuff. So. It's definitely not as hard to get into as most people think.
And when you're joining an already established player base, it's a lot easier because there's a lot of people there to help you get onto your feet. And it's good.
Yeah. Okay,
shoot. Yeah, I'll have to look into it.
Definitely worth picking up, especially if it's on sale. We got a summer sale coming up soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, so let's get into our third story for tonight. We'll be talking about game DLCs and updates, some of the impressions of some of the stuff that's come out recently. So some of them we're going to be talking about is Greymoor, Minecraft Dungeons, Maneater, Mortal Kombat 11 Aftermath. I don't think we got to play it, but I think we'll try to talk about it a little bit, is the Command & Conquer Remastered Collection, and also Valorant, which just came out. Let's start with Greymoor.
Yes. Tutu,
tell me about what your impressions of Greymoor is so far.
So yeah, very early impressions because I haven't, you know, beaten the expansion yet, and there's still so much to see after you quote unquote beat it. But like, of course, the best thing right off the bat, just returning to the western part of Skyrim is absolutely amazing, as beautiful as ever to see, you know, stuff like Dragonbridge and, you know, Morthal, Blackreach. And all of those iconic places again, you know, 800 years before Skyrim, of course, is just amazing. And they did such a phenomenal job of recreating it, but not only recreating it, but adding a lot of like familiarity to it, but also like a lot of newness to it because it is like 800 years before Skyrim. So some things aren't like fully built out, and you know, there are some different things where they did take liberties and they kind of expanded upon it more. Like Blackreach, of course, is like so much bigger and much more, like there's so much more to do in Blackreach on you know, Greymoor versus, you know, Skyrim back in the day. Yeah, I've just been falling in love with that. And the story, honestly, right now it's okay.
Because we're still in the same spot right now, right?
Yeah, we're still in the same exact spot. Story is just okay. There's nothing like kind of remarkable about it. There is like a pretty cool, there is like a pretty cool twist that happens that kind of sets up the entire story. But other than that, so far, it's just kind of, you know, it's kind of like a crux to explore more of the world and the land and to meet these characters. I got to say, the characters are probably the best part. Like, I love the vampire guy that's on your team. And of course, Lyris, like this giant Nordic lady. She's pretty awesome.
From Eastern Skyrim, mind you.
Yeah. but like, there are a lot of negatives that I'm seeing from the community. And like, I feel like I can kind of agree with, even, you know, playing as little as I have. Probably the most notable being, you know, this year, there's no new class. Essentially, there is a revamp of the vampire skill line that adds like some different abilities, not necessarily like new abilities, new for the vampire class, but they kind of like reskin some abilities from other classes. And that's kind of what got people upset, you know, on top of the fact that there is really no new class skill line.
Well, like, and they try to make it like the like werewolves try to be useful as its own thing. Like,
yeah,
werewolves was never intended to be its own class, whereas like vampires, I feel like they're trying to force it to be its own class. But it doesn't fit with just any build, which is the problem. Like, you can, it's, you could shoehorn it in somehow, but it doesn't really flow like with anything so far.
They revamped werewolf too. I'm glad you mentioned that. I probably would have forgotten. But they're both like really fun classes. But it seems like, at least so far from what I've seen, they're not really viable like in-game classes, especially if you want to play like some of the tougher stuff, like the veteran dungeons or even the trials. It's not really viable for that stuff. But there are like fun classes to mess around with. I think the most viable class that you can kind of combine with like the vampire skill line is like the rogue, I want to say.
The Nightblade, yeah. That's the only one I've heard that has any kind of like synergy with it, basically. And it's almost the same with the werewolf. Like, werewolf really only works with like either the Nightblade or a warden or a necromancer, and that's it.
Yeah. And yeah, that's about it. And also, there's like no really like new kind of big element to it. Like, each expansion kind of has like this really big like newness to it. Like, last year, of course, there was the new the necromancer skill line, plus, you know, you had dragons coming into the game, which was a huge big part. It added like a crazy awesome world boss to the game. This year you've got Harrowstorms, which is kind of like a new version of the like Dark Anchor kind of public events that used to happen in the base game. And they're cool. They're like really fun. I like them better than the Dark Acre events. But the thing is, like, the rewards are kind of crappy. Like, really crappy.
They're a little lacking right now.
Yeah, I feel like the Dark Acre rewards were even better.
It's hit or miss. Like, some of them you got really good rewards, some you didn't. But like on this one, yeah, it feels like it's really consistent with not having like great stuff either way. Like, I've done like I think 4 of them now, and I've gotten okay stuff. Like, nothing I'd, you know, go rant and rave about.
Yeah, and then there's the antiquity system, which is like a treasure hunting kind of system in the game, which adds like a puzzle element to it as well, which is pretty cool. But it's not nothing like kind of, you know, really all that special.
Oh.
So yeah, I just wanted to highlight, you know, kind of some negatives to the expansion. I'm enjoying it so far. I personally, you know, if anyone's like an ESO fan, I can easily recommend it. Of course, you know, get more content out of it. But right now, like, if you're on the fence or if you played ESO previously, you want to like jump back into it, I would say like wait until the rest of the content folds out for the rest of the year. Because right now, like, the DLC is a little lackluster, it seems.
Yeah, so it feels like it's definitely like it's like dipping your toes in for the years long of content, right? Like, kind of like the last one. I felt like you got more content initially on the expansion launch than this one, where like the antiquity system, I guess, is meant to be the big like holding thing, because you could find stuff. I mean, people are still exploring and finding the items in these areas, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, from what I understand, you could get some end game type weapons and armor and stuff from some of the antiquity stuff too. So, but
yeah, we haven't seen it. I forgot to mention, yeah, they have like kind of like a Destiny system with like the exotics. You can get kind of like exotic items with the antiquities, where they're like one piece of armor or one weapon that's just like ultra strong and comes with like some boosted like stats and benefits and stuff like that.
Yeah, and some of them are really hard to find too, from what I understand.
Definitely, yeah.
But, I mean, that gives you something to grind for, I guess, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. What are your thoughts playing it so far? You kind of have the same
thought. It's good. It's good, but it's not also like, it's not bad, but it's not also good either. Like, it's kind of been like in between. Like, the content I've gotten to play has been really cool, but as like, you create a new character too when in these new expansions, you also replay it in the new expansion. Like, so you have to go back to the old starter areas to play like those expansions, right? Like, yeah. I have to go back and play the base content. I have to go back and play the Elsewhere content or the Somerset content. Like Somerset, like, in fact, I came back on Somerset after doing the initial launch, and I did the Somerset line as my first characters, my Templars first line of stuff, dude, or quest line that he did. And that was super fun. Like, I thought that one was actually exhilarating and how the content story all panned out there. Whereas like the Greymoor starting stuff is okay, but I don't think we've gotten far enough to find out where the story's going yet. So I think that's the other thing too, is like, we haven't gotten to the meat and bones of what's really happening in this whole thing to kind of explain what's going on.
Yeah, mostly I'm just echoing like what I see from like forums and the community members out there. But yeah, we, you know, of course, you know, everyone has their own opinion. We haven't really touched much of Greymoor yet, but I feel like you can almost kind of see it coming, kind of expect it. But yeah, we still haven't gotten through the entirety of the DLC yet.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Just tell us about Minecraft Dungeons. What were your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, so real quick, like I saw a couple of reviews, and most notably a review from this YouTuber named SkillUp, and he was pretty negative on it. And like, I was so excited for the game because I love Dungeon Crawler, like not Dungeon Crawler, but I do love Dungeon Crawlers, but I love like, you know, ARPGs like Diablo and Path of Exile. So I was really hyped and excited, you know, at the potential of like a Diablo Minecraft style game. And when I saw his review, like, I pre-ordered it, even though I have Xbox Game Pass, I still pre-ordered it because I was like, I want to keep it and I want to be able to play all the DLC. I'm excited. As soon as I saw his review, I was like, oh my God, I refunded it so fast. And like, my excitement dropped so significantly. My friends have been playing it like crazy. And because they've been playing it like crazy, I was like, you know what? Okay, let me go in and check this out. And it's actually really fun. Like, I would say it. Yeah, I was surprised. I was
surprised to hear that. I was like, huh?
Yeah, it's really, really fun. It doesn't have a lot of depth to it. It's not like Diablo. It's not like Path of Exile, sadly. But it's fun. And I still think it's worth like the 20, 30 bucks that it, you know, the asking price for it.
Even with the Game Pass, it being included in the Game Pass, I mean, even if you just play it for a bit and then, you know, come back to it later or something, you know, that's not a bad idea either. But
yeah, and that's how I'm playing it too, because of course I refunded it. But it's like, I have my issues with it. Like, of course, there's not much depth to it. The main storyline in all of the worlds that you visit, there's like not much. You probably count on like two hands, like how many, I think there's like six worlds or something like that, but it has a lot of replayability where you can kind of up the difficulty and play it over and over again. Cause initially you can get through like the base game, like in 3 hours, 4 hours, even. I got through it fairly quickly. I'm like level 20 something right now. And I've just been going through it again with my friends, and it's been pretty fun. I wish that they took more advantage of like the Minecraft license, because like, pretty much the only thing Minecraft about it is just, you know, all the way that the world is and all of like the enemy types and stuff like that. I wish that there was kind of like a tower defense element to it, where you can kind of like build up like a tower essentially, and like defend it. And I wish there was like more destructibility, where, you know, terrain will break apart, you know, kind of like Minecraft stuff. But, you know, sadly doesn't have that. It is like, it's just a fun, cutesy ARPG light, you know, kind of game where you can jump in, jump out, have some fun, and be like, you know, okay, cool. I would love to see them add more to it down the line. And I know there's like DLC coming this month, but I would say like this is honestly a step in the right direction for Minecraft and for like kind of extending the IP beyond Minecraft. But I want to see them go like more hardcore with it. But yeah.
Yeah, and I think that was like one of most people's biggest problem is like they were expecting like an ARP, like a in-depth ARPG, and they got that, and they were like, wait, well, it's kind of like, you know, it's a Minecraft license using a ARPG Lite like platform essentially.
Yeah, and that was me. I was like, I wanted this to be like a Diablo replacement for me. I wanted to be playing this like night and day and all the time, but you know, it's not that, but it is still fun.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Another one was Maneater. So this one for me, I bought it. I was like, yeah, man, this is gonna be awesome. Like an arcadey, you know, like Shark Eater, and it looked just ridiculous and hilarious. And I think it's for Devolver that does this one, or no, Tripwire. Sorry, Tripwire does it.
Yeah.
And I played the tutorial, and I was like, oh man, this is kind of cool. And after I got into it, I was like an hour into it, and I got to the past the tutorial, got into your starter thing, and then I just realized it was just kind of the same old. And one of our streamers, TamTam, actually was streamed it for a couple days. And I decided, you know, I'm not going to play this further because I could still refund it now. Let me watch what she's doing and see how far she gets. Like, she played, like, I think roughly 6 hours of it. And I wasn't impressed overall. I didn't really like the fact that everything is basically kind of like rinse and repeat, doing the same thing until you get your upgrades and keep going. And I was just like, eh, like, I don't, like, I have so many other games to play right now. I couldn't see the addiction factor for me personally. So yeah, I hate to say it, but I refunded Maneater because I was just like, nah, I could buy something else. Especially it was on the Epic sale. You know, you get that $10 credit or whatever, and I got my credit back and everything. So I was like, yeah, this is a skip for me.
I feel like that's one of those distraction games. Like if you're just so bored and like you're bored of everything that it's in your library right now, it's just like, huh, I'll check out Maneater. But I feel like, how much is it? Like $40?
Yeah, it's $40. Like, it's a little steep for $40.
Yeah, from all that I've seen, it's definitely not a $40 looking game. You know, probably $20-$30 maybe, but $20 would be kind of like that sweet spot for it.
Yeah, I got it for $30 on the with that $10 coupon, but still, even for that, it didn't feel worth keeping to me.
But it's such a like interesting concept, and I do definitely want to see like more games kind of explore and do like wacky, cool, different stuff like this, because it really reminds me of like the AA games we used to get that's kind of gone today, and I'm glad we're seeing like a resurgence of it, like with these kind of more indie style games.
Yeah.
So I would love to see them like expand upon it, hopefully for a sequel. But yeah, right now it's just kind of like, eh, from what I've seen.
Yeah, and that's kind of been my thing. I'm just kind of like, eh, like I don't want to spend much time on it because there's just so many other good things to play. Yeah, but at the same time, I want to see developers like still try and take risks and do their things, right? Like, you know, it's a hard market to break into because everybody kind of picks their niche games, especially in, you know, AA or AAA titles, and kind of goes ham with it. One of the ones, like, it's not even on our list, but I'll talk about it a little bit, was Monster Train. Like, this was kind of like a sneak game that came out, and it's like super well loved already. But it also kind of caters to fans that used or that really like Slay the Spire and stuff like that. It's basically a roguelike deck building game where you're on a train, like a hell driven train, trying to get to your destination and go back to hell. And you're trying to be stopped by like Templars, like different variations of Templars to some degree, or like holy knights. And it was super easy to pick up. Like you could learn the game in like literally 10 minutes. And it's just a roguelike. As soon as you die and you finally lose your hub on your train, you start over and you still keep the stuff that you unlocked. But you can go through and on your next playthrough, you could actually unlock more stuff and keep going. But after my third run, I finally got a victory, which was really cool. So you have to get to the 8th stage to do it. And definitely worth, like, it's $25, definitely worth every penny to put into that one. Super easy to pick up, super easy to play. Good graphics, good acting, and not very, like, I only noticed one minor, like, tiny little bug, but I think it was just, maybe I didn't understand the ability or something, but, it's solid so far. I definitely can't explain on that one.
It's a card game?
Yeah, so it's like a card game action game. It's like, you see all the stuff that's happening on screen, so it's like a side-by-side, And there's the three, it's three lanes, like up to the top of the train. So you have your first, second, third level, and then your fourth level is your heart of your train, basically. So as they come in on the first level, unless a boss has something special to him. And if you don't kill those enemies, they go to the second level. And then on the next turn, they go to the third level. And the fourth turn, they go to the top level. And the top level can defend itself. Like the heart of the train can defend itself, but it doesn't, you know, it doesn't, it's not meant to be like, you're a know-all be-all for it, and the damage is permanent. So if you take damage there, it still transfers to the next stop and keeps going. So it's super fun. Like yeah, it's definitely worth checking out.
It's almost like two games in one,
basically. And that's why I think that's why it's interesting too, because it's kind of it's like it's got like a Darkest Dungeon feel to some degree with how the side the side by side attacking goes, and then added in with like a roguelike card game, which is super easy to play. So, and if you get it on, if you have the, Humble Monthly or Humble Choice subscription, you get it for 20% off. So you get it for $19.99, which isn't bad. Or even that, just, $24.99 for regular price on Steam.
Yeah.
Absolutely worth the price. Like, I already see lots of replay value. And there's six factions. You start with unlocking two. I finally unlocked my third one. And then when I got that third one, it's actually how I got my first win on the game, because that other faction just synergized with the one I played with so well. So it was, you could find some really cool synergies with things. And every gameplay, like you have a leader card that is always like a basic part of your deck, depending on what your main faction is. And each time you play, your leader abilities change too. So like you can upgrade them and stuff as you go along and play the game. But every gameplay, you get like a different pool of stuff that you go and pull from for your abilities, which I thought was unique. Another one too that we were going to touch on a little bit was Mortal Kombat 11 Aftermath. Came out with quite a bit of new characters and also a new like story campaign. This is the one I haven't actually got to touch it yet. I bought it. I bought the Aftermath expansion because I bought the original Ultimate Edition of MK11. But it, for all intents and purposes, everything I've heard, even my hardcore like Mortal Kombat fans, are absolutely loving it. Like the new story is really fun. It makes sense, especially after the last one. And you get to just kind of go through like a whole new part of the universe, which I thought was really interesting. And it's not just the standard, back and forth. I got to go and join the tournament to do everything. Like this was like a fight for the universe kind of thing, right? So, yeah, it's overall pretty good.
I've yet to play most of these. But after what Tutu said about Minecraft Dungeons, I'm reconsidering my opinion. Because I was of the opinion that I was like, okay, this is kind of a disgrace to Minecraft and I didn't like it. But hearing Tutu say that it might be like good and that it's a decent game gives me a little bit of hope that they know what they're doing.
Don't expect the world from it, but it is pretty fun.
Yeah.
It's like
I'm not looking for something big, I'm looking for something cute.
Yeah. And it definitely delivers there, I would say.
Cool.
Yep. So like one of my favorite YouTubers is creating content for Minecraft Dungeons, and I mean it's awesome. So I'm looking into it. Might actually buy it. So yeah.
It's on Game Pass as well. So if you don't want to spend like the full 20 or 30 bucks, pay $5 to get it on Game Pass for PC.
Yeah, I mean, you can't hurt it at that point, right? To try out some of these. Like, I actually, Game Pass has been super worth it for me. Like, I actually downloaded MechWarrior 5 because I got to Game Pass 2, and I was like, oh, hell yeah. I was waiting for this to go on sale, but now it's on Game Pass. I'll, at least be able to try it and see. And that's also a really solid game, too. Beautiful graphics, very same mech combat you get, among many other things. Do you guys want to talk about the Command & Conquer remastered?
All I want to say about Command & Conquer Remastered is they're bringing it to Steam, and they're bringing a lot of their games to Steam, and I am so incredibly excited.
That's something I think we got to talk about on one show, too, is just like what we were talking about before the show. Sorry to just cut you off so quick. About how they might be, it seems like they're starting to phase out of their launcher, which is going to be interesting. So I think that's something to talk about in the future, but sorry to cut you off, Sophia. Go ahead.
Yeah, maybe we'll see that with like Sims coming out. Maybe they won't use Origin Launcher for the Sims, the next Sims 5, if it ever drops. It should drop soon. They just released their final expansion for it.
Yeah, I think that's like end of the year, right? It was when they said the when they did their announcement. Or that was an expansion announcement, right? This last one.
The expansion announcement said like it should be coming out in June or July, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Eco living, I think that's what it was called. But the one thing I want to say about Command & Conquer is I bought it. I haven't played it yet. Haven't really had the time, but you know, they're doing a lot of good things with it. They open source both the Tiberian Dawn and the Red Alert core code. So they're looking for community modders to make mods, map mods, sound files. I mean, it's kind of a new stance coming from EA, to be honest.
Yeah. But and you know what? I think we're going to start seeing this a lot. There are game companies that I feel like there's internal turmoil going on in a lot of game companies, and they're rethinking a lot of their management decisions. And EA coming to Steam is one of those big management decisions, because now EA can be like, okay, we've stopped making the buggy pieces of shit. Sorry. We've stopped making the games that are full of microtransactions. We're going to make another Star Wars game and we're going to put it on Steam, and it's going to be $59.99, but it's going to be really big and it'll be in this cool time era that everyone wants to see. And I'm hoping and praying that that's what EA is saying by making this move to bring stuff to Steam.
Yeah. And that's what I'm kind of hoping, like, because everybody, like, the big battle now is like, not it's like the exclusives and the cut and everything, right? So I imagine Origin has already done this, you know, to like try to keep some of their cut on their stuff if they have their own launcher, right? But if they're trying to still compete with a single launcher, an extra launcher, like, nobody wants that extra launcher, right?
Right. And I don't want to have the Origin launcher on here. It sucks.
Yeah. I mean, I have it because of the Battlefield games and some of the other stuff and Battlefront games and whatnot, right? But if they decide to go and like merge on over and allow you to play the stuff on just Steam, like, that'd be awesome too. Now, do I necessarily want to rebuy all my games that are on Origin Launcher? No, that's a lot of games. But yeah. I would be interested to see if they actually like cut back. And it's weird because, like, you know, what was it, like 4 or 5 years ago, they broke off of Steam and then they started doing their own thing exclusively on Origin. And then all of a sudden they're deciding to come back after the, you know, the launcher wars have started essentially with Epic. So it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. I think it's a great move to have EA back on Steam, and plus, like, EA Access is coming to Steam too. So even if you know don't necessarily want to repurchase your games, you can just subscribe to EA Access and, you know, play your games that way too.
That's the thing that makes me think that they might be trying to phase out, like, the Origin launcher, is because if they're willing to bring their subscription service to Steam, which the first one I've ever seen in terms of a subscription service aside of the MMOs, right, was Fallout. Like Fallout 76, like, they had their Fallout first thing over there, and I've never seen subscriptions otherwise. Like, you could do them on for like Eve and ESO and Final Fantasy that are on Steam, but aside of that, I've never seen it otherwise. So it's kind of interesting that they're doing that now.
Yeah, it's really dope. And also, another crazy story that just came to mind that we didn't talk about is Nvidia, their streaming cloud service is coming to Steam as well, which is also going to be huge.
Oh, GeForce Now?
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome. I think a big part of they got better deal with Steam now, and then Steam has to compete with Epic. Yeah, I think that's what it was. They had to have, because I mean, EA games still sell pretty good despite, you know, most people hating them. But
I think what happened was Steam hit a threshold where they were like, okay, we're losing enough money to Epic Games now, and we've lost enough of our market portion that we're going to tweak a little bit of what we do on the Steam platform. We're also going to start releasing video games to make up for the missing profits and use our VR headset as a sales for those games. It's a really, really great marketing strategy, and it's a really great way to get their stuff together when they need it to be together. And I'm looking forward to the future of Steam and Valve and this new era that they have they have entered with great gusto. Half-Life Alyx was amazing. So we'll see.
Yeah. And then kind of like one of our later ones is Valorant. So what are your all thoughts on Valorant?
I have not played Valorant, but I have seen a lot of people playing it, and I kind of am interested in actually doing so. Is it free? What's the?
Yeah, 100% free.
Cool.
You could buy like the battle pass, and then also skins in it, but that's it. Just like most of the other stuff right now. So you get yourself a $10 battle pass and individual skins for your gun sets, basically.
You know, cool. I do want to try it out, but I'm kind of sketched out by their anti-cheat software.
Yeah.
Well, that's been everybody's worry, right? Like the people that haven't gotten into it yet has been, I mean, it's backed off a lot from what their initial like launch of it, because everybody complains so much about it. But yeah, still, it's kind of scary. Like once in a great while, like I'll open up like my minion mod manager, for example, and it doesn't like minion running at the same time as Valorant, for example, because it's a modder tool. So they don't like modder tools in general. That's like the only time I've ever had like weird Vanguard, you know, turning on and being like, no, you can't do this right now while Valorant's running.
I never thought about it, but that's probably why I had some issues launching Valorant at times too.
Yeah, because like if minions auto on, like it'll have problems. So I had to turn like the start on, you know, stop on Windows or whatever to get it to stop doing that. But yeah, mod managers and modding tools and stuff like that, it doesn't like it. Like Total War, the Total War launcher, for example, does the same thing. Like, because it has modding tools built into it. Like, they're like, nope, can't do it. But overall, it's a solid game. Like, I think it's finally one of the first games I think that's really going to heavily compete with CSGO in the long term, because it's kind of, it literally is a mix between Overwatch and CSGO. More leaning on the CSGO side of things, but Overwatchy feeling because of the individual heroes and abilities and whatnot. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see it, because a lot of teams and stuff are forming. They're trying to get esports running. My only complaint with Riot stuff now that they have so many games is they don't have a launcher, like an all-in-one inclusive launcher for their games. So they're all individual launchers, which I think is annoying.
Yeah, eventually I feel like they'll have to get their own launcher for their games. I feel like it only makes sense because, you know, next up we got what the fighting game, and they've got this and that genre of game coming out. They'll definitely need to.
So it's League, Teamfight Tactics, Legends of Runeterra, and now you have Valorant, and it's like, okay, well, they all have their own launchers except for League and Teamfight Tactics. So it's just those two, the only one that are locked in their launcher, which doesn't make any sense why they didn't include the other ones, because you already do the one. But I think it's because Teamfight and League share the same code or a similar code base.
Yeah.
Or parts of their code base, anyway. I think it's the same, so I think that's why they do that one.
Yeah. Valorant's pretty solid. I can safely say I like it more than CSGO, for obvious reasons why we said earlier, but you know, still toxicity in Valorant too. It's pretty fun. You know, from what I played so far, I suck horribly at it, but I still have a great time whenever I play it. There's a similar game coming out, Rogue Company, that I'm looking forward to more, just because it's kind of more arcadey looking. Yeah. Valorant is nice. I like Valorant.
Any other newer releases that kind of snuck in that you guys want to talk about?
I'm good. I don't have anything on. Oh, well, you know what? Actually, I will mention Satisfactory came out on Steam. Access came out on Steam today. If you haven't played Satisfactory, but you have played any sort of factory type simulator, this is just that, but very cool. 3D, you know, factory simulator with mining and environments and pollution. I don't know if they've added that yet or not, but have they not yet?
No, there's no pollution.
Oh, I thought they had added that. But no, it's a really fun game. I haven't played in a while, but now that it's on Steam, I think I'm going to play again because I really don't like the Epic Games launcher. That's exciting.
Yeah. Satisfactory is a super solid game. I actually got quite a bit of playtime with it. I actually played with Soapleb a while back in Update 2. They have, it's Update 3 now. But yeah. It's kind of interesting because like those updates are way far apart too. So like update 2 and 3 was like 6 months apart. And they're about to go on another hiatus because they go on hiatus in the summer. So it'll be interesting to see if you know, everything else going on affects them or not.
It also looks like they have a, you can cross play between Epic Games Store and Steam. So you don't have to rebuy the game on Steam if you just already own it.
Oh, that's nice then. Another game that actually just got cross or is getting crossplay for its final update was the Need for Speed Heat. It's getting crossplay with consoles for its final update, which doesn't make any sense why they're doing it as the final update instead of like, okay, here's an update and then keep going on it.
Yeah, that's a weird one because I know that Criterion took over development for it and they're going to be developing the next Need for Speed, which is pretty exciting. But yeah, like, why add crossplay for Need for Speed Heat of all games? I don't know, but you know, it is what it is.
Try to keep it going for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
I mean, the Need for Speed games, like, as soon as they stop development on it, that game dies. Like, those games die really quick. Whereas, like, Horizon, or Forza Horizons, or Forza 7, or whatever the, you know, the current generation of those, like, go on even after development stops on them. But, like, the Heat games, like, stop because of all the, you know, the rest of the updates stop. So, like, no live events, no any of the other stuff. So, interesting. Definitely think there's some cool stuff. The other one that might be kind of an interesting one to check out again too was Destiny 2 is had their first live event the other day with one of the ships blowing up in space.
Oh, which was freaking awful. Well, it was off. I was there for the whole thing. Waited almost like 2 goddamn hours for this thing to blow out of the sky. I mean, which is pretty awesome, rewarding for Destiny 2 fans. But you know, I've been out of the loop of that game forever personally. So for me, it was just like, oh my God, they need to do better with the time management for their events going forward. Cool to see, but just way too long to wait for. I know tomorrow is their big reveal for the next expansion, which I'm really excited for tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. So, yeah.
I hope they do something good because like this last one, like I bought the, what was it? Forsaken is the name of the last DLC?
I think, let me check.
Oh, Shadowkeep. Sorry, Shadowkeep.
Oh, yeah.
But the Shadowkeep thing again, and I got 4 of the season passes, you know, included with it or whatever, but I didn't even get past the second one because the first one was such a grind. I was like, I get that you want to do it, but I was like, I was playing every day and barely got to like level 60 something. Like some people got it even faster if they were, you know, good and running extra stuff. But at some point I was like, oh man, this is burning me out so much. Yeah. So I don't know. It's an interesting one. Anyway, I think that's it for today. Any final words, guys?
Real quick, please, let's pledge to be better to each other. And I want to point out the bundle. It's a racial justice and equality bundle. There's 750 games, something like that. And you can, you know, pledge however you want. You can buy it all for just $5. So you have over 700 games for $5. And it goes to, you know, organizations supporting Black Lives Matter. So I'm going to just put that in chat real quick.
Nice.
And they've raised $2 million so far. Their goal is $5 million. It's crazy.
That's pretty awesome. Oh, yeah. Well, thank you all definitely so much for joining us today and hanging out. And sorry, we've been back and forth a little bit. We're only going to be trying to finish out the rest of June, and then we're going to be finishing up season 1. Season 2 will come back with some updated changes and looks to the show. Also change out some things here and there. So just definitely be on the lookout for that. But next week, I feel like we're going to have a lot to talk about. We've got all the state of play, like the releases and news and whatnot. I think we'll definitely have quite a bit to talk about in this regard. But yeah, thank you all so much for joining us today. Hope you all have a great rest of your Monday evening. And until next time, see y'all later.
Adios.
See you guys.
Peace.